one is prohibited to fast. There is a mitzvah of simcha, just like on a Shabbos, just like on Yom Tov, we got Shabbos, just like on Yom Tov, there is a mitzvah of simcha. And there's an Issa Hesper v'tainis, so to on the Yom Tov, when Megillas Tainis, one is not allowed to fast, and one is not allowed to deliver a Hesper. People die every day of the year. There are burials, there are kfuris, there are funerals on Purim, but one is not permitted to deliver a Hesper. There was a great Goyen who lived in Poland, in Panevezh, almost 100 years ago, but 80 years ago, Rabitzel of Panevezh, Rabitzel Rabinowitz, he had a lot of chidushim. He was a very original thinker. So one of his chidushim was that on Chalamoid, or Chanukah and Purim, one is prohibited from delivering a hesped. That means the rabbi is not allowed to deliver a hesped. A stranger is not allowed to, an outsider. But one of the members of the family who's in the state of Aninus is permitted to deliver a hesped. The reason being, the rationale being, that the Issa Hesped isn't really an Issa, it starts off as a mitzvah of Simcha. And one who's in a state of Aninus, Aninus is one who lost a close relative before the burial took place. The one in the state of Aninus is prohibited from fulfilling any mitzvahs. He's not allowed to daven, he's not allowed to recite any brachas, he's not allowed to put on tefillah and sit, he's not allowed to perform any mitzvahs. So this mitzvah of Simcha Siyantim is also not allowed to fulfill. So since the Oinen doesn't have the mitzvah of Simcha, so there's no prohibition, there's no problem for him delivering a Hesped. This makes life easy. If you would have accepted his opinion, it would have made life easy. Because a lot of times it's so improper. If you bury a person, a Chalamoid, a Chanukah, and Purim, no one delivers a eulogy. So if he would have accepted his opinion, it would have been a nice thing that the Oinen could deliver a eulogy. It's not accepted because we assume that not only is it prohibited to deliver the eulogy, it's prohibited to listen to the eulogy. So it doesn't help that the Einan is allowed to say it, but the rest of the people are not allowed to listen to the Hesped. The Gemara points out in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches that all of the other Yamim Tovim, there are about 45 Yamim Tovim listed in the Megillas Tainis, all the other Yamim Tovim were cancelled after the destruction of the Second Temple. They all had to do with the Second Beis HaMikdash. With the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim, these two holidays remain. Tosis has two opinions regarding Lifneim or Le'achreim. It says in the Braisa and Megillas Tainis that all of these Yom Tovim and the Rabbanon, not only are you not allowed to fast on the Yom Tov, on Chanukah and Purim itself, even the day before, the day after, you're also not allowed to fast. So Tosis has two opinions. When the Gemara says that they were mevatel, that they did away after the destruction of the Second Temple, we no longer observe all of these Yamim Tovim, with the exception of Chanukah and Purim. What about Lifneim and Achreim of Chanukah and Purim? You say only Chanukah and Purim is the exception to the rule. Do you say Chanukah and Purim the day before and the day after also? Now, the day before Purim, everybody knows we fast Tainis Esther. So how do you fast Tainis Esther if you should assume that the din of Lifneim the day before Purim also is still intact? So the Rishonim talk about this. And in the Sefer HaEshkol, that's one of the Rishonim that was written by the Rabbeinu Avraham Abbez, he's sometimes known as the Ravid. His daughter married the Ravid, the famous Ravid. The Ravid and the Balamor learned by Harusa. So the Ravid married the daughter of the Rebbe, the Ravid, the author of the Eshkol. Rabbeinu Avraham Abbez of Narbona. Then there's a third Ravid who wrote a history book. He's never quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. History is not so Givaldiki. Sefer HaKabbalah, by the way. So the Eshkol suggests an answer that the Tainus on Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha. We fast to reminisce about the fact that our forefathers in the days of the Tzara of Haman fasted and their prayers were answered. So it's not a Tainus Shel Avelis, it's not a Tainus Shel Tzara, it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. So that's not forbidden. To observe such a tainus on Erev Purim, that's okay. To observe a tainus, a person on the outside, a person wants to fast because he has midterms or finals, or he's going for an interview, he's nervous, he's considered an ace tzara, so that kind of fasting, you're not allowed to fast. On Purim, and maybe the day before also, you're not allowed to fast. But the way we fast on Tainus Esther, that's a tainus shal simcha, as opposed to a tainus shal avelus, a tainus shal tzar, a tainus be ace tzar. It may be a nafgemina ledina, the fact that the Eshkol labels Tainus Esther as a Tainus Shel Simcha. For example, Rav Soloveitchik suggested that even though the Achronim say that one who is observing Shivasa B'Tammuz, Asara B'Tevis, L'chatchila, if it's not too inconvenient, really one should volunteer to observe all the Hamisha Inuyim. Not just to observe the Yisra Achila Shdiya, not to wear shoes either, and not to have Tashmish Amita, and not to wash, and so on. L'chatchila to observe all the Hamisha Inuyim, and Leila Kiyomo, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that all of that only applies on the other Tanais, on the Taina Shel Avelus, on Shavasa B'Tamuz, and some Gedalia, and Asar B'Tavis. But on Tainus Estes, where it's a Tainus Shel Simcha, maybe there, even as the Midas Chasidus, it wouldn't make sense to volunteer all the other Hamishinu. Or perhaps there would be another Nafkamina. I'm sorry, you didn't mention this one. Perhaps others suggest. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Haskamas Achrayim that the din of Chinuch only applies to children before Bar Mitzvah with respect to fasting on Yom Kippur. That's a Mishnah in the very end of Yuma, the last paragraph in Yuma. As far as fasting on Tisha B'Av, or as far as fasting on Asar B'Tevis on Gedalia, even if the child is going to be Bar Mitzvah tomorrow, there's no chinuch for fasting on the other fast days. So Shagasari says the reason why is because there's no chinuch on Avelus, and the other fast days are a form of Nihug Avelus. So it could well be that as far as fasting on Tainus Esther, that Tainus Esther is the Tainus Shel Simcha, on the Tainus Shel Avelus, and maybe there we should encourage children before Bar Mitzvah to fast also, the same as we encourage them to fast on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, usually we say that the 2 years, if they're healthy enough, usually in America they're overweight, they're very healthy. So usually if the child is healthy, so 2 years before his Bar Mitzvah, we recommend that the boy, the girl becomes Bar Mitzvah 12, the boy becomes Bar Mitzvah 13. 2 years before, we encourage them to fast all day, if they're up to it, if they're healthy. And 2 years before, we encourage them to fast a half a day. Before that, there's no chinuch at all on the fasting. So maybe Tanya says there also, we should, unlike Tisha B'Av and unlike Shabbos of the Talmud, where we don't at all encourage, we tell the children they should eat the regular meals on Tisha B'Av and so on until Bar Mitzvah. And maybe Tainus Esther is different because it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. Strictly speaking, the Gemara says that even though we only observe Purim on Yudalid Ador, and they observe Purim on Tezvav and Yerushalayim, or other Ayoras HaMekof Eschoim and Milos Yerushal Benun, that's a question as to which of the 2 days does one observe the various mitzvahs. But really, both days are Purim wherever you live in the world. It's like Moshe Lamad Avadayma, Pesach is a 7 day holiday, but you don't have the Seder all 7 days. You can't have the Seder on Chol HaMoed, you can't have the Seder the last day Pesach. You have the Seder the first night of Pesach. So here also, basically, there are 2 days of Purim. Wherever you live, the Gemara says, Lesser, Eshel Zeh Bozeh, Eshel Zeh Bozeh. Whether you live in Yerushalayim, and you're going to fulfill all the mitzvahs Hayom in Tezvav, or you live in New York, and you're going to fulfill all the mitzvahs Hayom Yudalit, that's which of the 2 days should one observe the mitzvahs Hayom? Which day do you recite Al-Anisim? But really, both days are really Purim, and that's why the Issa Hesped V'Tainus applies to both days. The Mukacha had the practice, he followed the post to say that you say Al-Anis in both days. He said both days are Purim, so you say Al-Anis in both days. The only difference between one day and the other is which days do you fulfill the other mitzvah sayah, namely Shalach Manas, Mantanas Lev Yainim, Sudas Purim, and Mikra Megillah. But he thought that Al-Anisim, since both days are Purim, so you say Al-Anisim on both days. Shulchan Aruch says not so. Shulchan Aruch says the only recite Al Anisim on that day, Minchas Lozer has a right to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. But the Shulchan Aruch says you only recite Al Anisim on that day on which you observe the mitzvah Sayyim. It says, but if a person by mistake said Al Anisim on Shushan Purim, he doesn't have to repeat the Shmona Esrei because of that, because it's not totally out of place. It does have a Shaykh. We have three different types of mitzvahs. We have mitzvahs that are menatur and mitzvahs that are midirabbanon. Mitzvahs menatur, we're more strict. If you have a sofik, you go to chumra. Mitzvah midirabbanon, if you have a sofik, you go to kula. And then there's a third category that's halfway in between. It's a mitzvah midirabbanon that has the approval of the bezon shalmaila, has the approval of Ruach HaKodesh. That's called dibrei kabbalah. Din midirabbanon that's recorded sometimes in chumash and usually in the vim or ksuvim. So the Paskim say in Shulchan Aruch that Mishloach Manos and Matanas Lavyayin and Mesudas Purim are considered mitzvah medivri kabbalah. One should be meticulous and careful, extremely careful to fulfill it. Any sofik you would go to Chumrah. The question is, what about Mikra Megillah? Is Mikra Megillah also considered divrei kabbalah? Divrei kabbalah means a mitzvah medirabbanon that that's written in the Vimuksuv. Where does it say in Megillah Sester that you have to read the Megillah? It doesn't really say anywhere. It says Hayamim Wailah Nizkarim Vinasim. So the word Nizkarim means these 2 days of Yudal and Tezvav are spoken of. Lizakar in Hebrew means to remember, and the word Lahazakir means to mention, to speak of. So sometimes you'll have a word Zayin Chafresh, the verb with a Pir Chumash or a Navi, and it doesn't really mean to remember, it means to mention. Take for example Kiddush. The Gemara says that the mitzvah to recite Kiddush on Shabbos is a mitzvah min haTorah, based on the pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros that says Zocharos Yom Shabbos LeKadshoy. So the Gemara understands that Zochor in that context doesn't mean remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. It means you should mention, you should speak about the fact that Shabbos is holy day LaHazakir. And same thing Parsha Zohar. This Shabbos we're going to read Parsha Zohar. So the Gemara understands Zohar doesn't mean you should remember what Amalek did. To remember Zechir B'Leiv, it ends off the Parsha Lois Ishkach. Arei B'Leiv Oma. Hamani Mekayim Zohar. Zohar means B'Peh. The word Zohar means you should mention the fact that Amalek started up with the Jewish people. Then the Gemara goes further to explain that you're not Yotze if you mention it B'Peh. You have to read Parsha Zohar from the Sefer Torah. Mitoch HaKsav. So here also it says Hayamim Wailah Nizkarim and Asim. It means that these 2 days of Purim, Yudal and Tezvav, on this Korim, they are spoken of, Minasim, and observed. So they're spoken of is a reference to the Mikra Megillah. That's the whole source for the Mitzvah Mikra Megillah. The classical Poskim assumed, many classical Poskim assumed that Mikra Megillah is considered also Diri Kabbalah. Rabbi Kiveger, on the comments on the Shulchan Aruch, writes like that he quotes the Turi Evin. Turi Evin is a sefer by the author of the Shagas Aryeh. On the Gemara, so the Turi Evin seems to assume like that. The Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah mediri kabbalah, and if you have a suffix, if you miss the word, you would have to go to Chumar. The Chabina Rab in his sefer, David Meisharim, he just died 30-40 years ago. Chabina Rab writes in his sefer, he disagrees. He quotes a comment that's made by the commentary of Rashi on Maseches Tainis. We know that the commentary that's printed on Maseches Tainis that goes under the name Rashi is not by Rashi, it's by somebody else. But someone who lived a long time ago, in the days of the Rishonim, not on the same level as Rashi, but also some important Rishon. So the pseudo Rashi on Tainis writes, based on the Gemara, that it's only considered a mitzvah mediri kabbalah if it appears in the Nevi'im Uksuvim Baloshen Tzivui, like it says. Mishloach, how does it say? Lasa sos ve mishta v'simcha, mishloach manas yishreem atonis l'avyeim. That's written in Baloshim Tzibur, you have to do that. The Mikra Megillah says, Hayamim Eilim Nizkarim and Asim, the days are spoken of, and it's understood that it means that it's a reference to reading the Megillah. But since it doesn't appear Baloshim Tzibur, so the Chibin Rav in his safe and the David Meisharm thinks that Mikra Megillah is on Allah, is a regular din derabbanan. It's not considered Diri Kabbalah. The others, Shlach Manas, Matanas, Laviyanim, Masuda Spurim, those would be Diri Kabbalah, because those appear Beloshim Tzivui. There's always an issue in some shuls or in some yeshivas, they want to encourage the young boys that they should get more involved in learning and get more involved in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So sometimes they get the boys who are just barely Bar Mitzvah to read the Megillah. So this is a question, do you really have the right to assume that a boy is after 13th birthday is really bar mitzvah? In order to be considered a gadol or a gdola, a boy should be a bar mitzvah, a girl should be considered a bas mitzvah. You have to have two parts. You have to have, first of all, shanim, and then secondly, simanim. Shanim is the boy has to be 13 and the girl has to be 12. Then you have to have simanim, means that you have to have shtei saris growing under eva ho'erva. So who's going to go check to see if the person has shtei saris growing under eva ho'erva? So with respect to dinam derabbanan, you don't have to check. To allow the child to be the bal tefila, to daven for an omer, to lay in kriyas haTorah, to be mitzarfim to a minyan, all these things are only derabbanan, that's not a problem. The shad is, what if the kid's bar mitzvah is right around this season of the year, and he's going to lay in Parsha Zohar on Shabbos? So many poskim say Parsha Zohar is a real din deraisa. With respect to dinam deraisa, the Gemara says, you should not rely on the chazokah, and this ruba deleisa kamon, that we usually assume that kol sheyigil hakol shonim, that if the boy is 13, that he probably has the shtei saris also. The many poskim are, the Gemara says in Maseches Nida that you shouldn't rely on that chazakah to let a boy, let's say his brother was married and died leaving no children, and we're waiting for this younger brother to become bar mitzvah, he should be able to do chalitza for his sister-in-law. So that's a din deraisa, that a katan before bar mitzvah cannot perform chalitza. Al pi din, he can do chalitza, but it won't be acceptable. He has to wait to do the chalitza after bar mitzvah. Or let's say to serve as an aid on a get, to be the sefer to write a get l'shma. So for that, you have to be bar mitzvah. That's a real din deraisa. You have to be bar mitzvah to serve as an aid. So to be makir yevama lashuk to do chalitza, so that the Gemara says you have to check to see if the child has shtei sons. The Gemara never says that you have to check for the simanim with respect to all dinim deraisa. That's a question in poskim. Some say you only have to check for the simanim with respect to yoni issues to be makir yevama lashuk, to be makir an ishish lashuk, but with respect to other dinim deraisa not. But it's usually assumed like the other view that with respect to all dinim deraisa we are machmir to insist on bedika simon. So that's why many assume that it's not proper that a boy who just barely bar mitzvah should be the balkari on Parsha Zohar. Unless you see that his beard is already growing, or if he has hair growing on his fingers over here, so be yodua that he has shtei saris growing on the eva ha'erevon. But if he doesn't have a beard growing and he doesn't have saris growing on his fingers, then you have to be mesupik. Maybe he doesn't really have the shtei saris. So that's the question. Do you have to check for shtei saris to allow him to learn the Megillah? So if you treat the reading of the Megillah like the Kabbalah, the Divrei Torah Damyan, so many poskim say you shouldn't allow a young child to read the Megillah, unless you know Bavadoi said he has Shtei Saris growing. And others follow the Chibin Rav, and they say no, that Mikra Megillah is not considered Divrei Kabbalah. Mikra Megillah is a plain old din, the Rabbanon, Shalach Manas, Matanas Lavyenim, Sudas Purim, that's considered Divrei Kabbalah. But this not. Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlekes among the poskim. What's the din if the balkari who was reading the Megillah got stuck in the middle, he fainted or something, is not up to finishing? Can you switch in the middle of Kriyas HaMegillah, have someone else finish the second half of the Megillah? So some poskim are of the opinion that even b'di'evad yirat yotze, the Megillah has to be read by one person from the beginning to the end. That's not the accepted opinion. We poskim that b'di'evad, one is yotze in the Megillah, even if different parts are read by different people, but l'chadchila it's not really right. In some shuls or some schools, some yeshivas, they want to encourage the young children to remain observant, which is very important. So they organize that, they divide the Megillah into nine chapters. I think it has nine chapters, no? And they have one child read, each chapter is read by a different child. Okay, so we have a klal, the Bishas HaTchak. We allow Lechatchila, which usually is only allowed by the other. Lechatchila, more correct, is to have one person read the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end, because there is an opinion that even b'di'evad you're not yotzeh, but we pass from b'di'evad you are yotzeh if it's read by more than one person. Part is read by one person, part is read by another person. So if the rabbi in the community feels that he really has a shas hadchak, he feels that he has to encourage the young boys to remain in mitzvahs and in shul and participating in mikra Megillah, so be it. Okay. Gemara says that before you read the Megillah, you recite three brachas, and after you finish reading the Megillah, you recite one bracha, Haravis Rivein. The third bracha that's recited, the first bracha is on Mikra Megillah, the second bracha is Shosan Nisim Labasen, and the third bracha is Shehechayana. Shehechayana is recited when a person fulfills a mitzvah which he hasn't fulfilled in a long time. Take, for example, the first night of Chanukah. When we light the Neiris Chanukah, we recite the Bracha Shehechayana. From the second night to the eighth night, you don't say Shehechayana because we just lit the candles last night. When you put on tefillin this morning, you don't say Shehechayana. You just put on tefillin yesterday. And yesterday you weren't so excited because you just put on tefillin 2 days ago. And that there isn't that much excitement with respect to a mitzvah that comes on such a regular basis. But Mikra Megillah only comes once a year, so that's why we recite Shehechayana. The question is, does it make sense to recite Shehechayana on the Mikra Megillah in the morning? The Gemara says you have to hear the Megillah twice. Chayv Banim Likra says the Megillah Balaylo Lushanosa Bayom. You have to hear the Megillah at night, then you have to repeat and listen to the Megillah a second time in the morning. So when you read the Megillah in the morning, you just heard the Megillah reading last night, so it's not that exciting. So that's a big machlokes. So the Rambam is of the opinion, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch writes, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, and the Sfardim follow that view, that Shehechayana is not recited in the morning. And the Ramah quotes the position of the Bali HaTaisis. Bali HaTaisis say no, that you do recite Shehechayana in the morning, even though you just read the Megillah last night, so what's so exciting about the they make a Megillah in the daytime. So Tosis claims there are various reasons given for this psak. The Tosis claims that the reason why we recite Shachyanu in the daytime is because the Mikra Megillah by Laila is not as important as the Mikra Megillah by Yom. The Kriyas Megillah by Yom is more important, so we haven't had such a high level significance of Mikra Megillah since last year Purim in the daytime. What does that mean, that the Kriyas Megillah by Yom is more significant than the Kriyas Megillah by Laila? So some of the commentaries suggest Shlomo LeVilna, who was a dayan in Vilna when the Vilna Shas was being printed, he was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. He was the one who corrected the galleys when they printed the Vilna Shas from memory. He didn't have to look into another Gemara and see word for word to make sure that everything says. He knew the Gemara Rashi and Tosis by heart. That's why there's some mistakes in the Vilna Shas that don't appear in any other edition, because he remembered the whole Gemara by heart. And he was also Litvak, so he mispronounced. He would pronounce a shin like a samach, a samach like a shin. So once in a while there's a misprint in the Vilna Shas that didn't exist in any edition before. You have a shin instead of a samach. A litvis, a mistake. You have a shin instead of a samach, and a samach instead of a shin. His grandson, his great-grandson, used to teach here in the yeshiva when I was in high school. Rabbi Mark Kellis used to teach here. He told over that family tradition that his grandfather corrected the galleys of the Vilna Shas from memory. Anyway, so Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna writes in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, he thinks that the Kavanah of Tosis is that the reading of the Megillah was instituted in the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim, the days of the Nes Purim. That's the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. The Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla was not instituted till the days of the Amoraim. That's his suggestion, because the first time it appears anywhere that you read the Megillah Balayla is in Megillah Davdalad Amar Aleph, where the Gemara quotes Amoraim, making a statement. In the Mishnahs, you only have the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom mentioned, and the Rishonim asks, Kakama does mention Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla. So they give all kinds of suggestions. So Shlomo LeVilna thought maybe historically it didn't exist in the days of Tanakh. Maybe it was only instituted in the days of Amara. That's how he understood the Kavanah Tosfos, that Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom is more important than Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla. The Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom is perhaps Medivri Kabbalah, that's rooted in the Takana from the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, as opposed to Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, that was instituted perhaps in the days of the Amoraim.
Would an Ashkenazi davening at a Sfardi meeting which doesn't say Shechiyonu, would he say the Shechiyonu to himself?
Yes, the Mahariel, you see here in Broyers, they daven Nusach Ashkenaz, they pronounce Havara Ashkenazis, but they have all the Menhagim like Sfard, like if they're two Haftaris, so they'll say the Sfardish Haftar. The opposite from the Hasidim. The Hasidim daven Nusach Sfard, but they do Minig Ashkenaz. If they're two Haftaris, they're going to say the Ashkenaz Haftar. So Broyers, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, they don't say Shachianu on the Tkiyas. In the morning of Purim, they don't say Shachianu on Mikra Megillah. They follow, a lot of times, they follow the Psokim of the Mechaber. Psokim and Minhagim of Sfarad. So the Maharil records this. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Maharil was the Baal Kore. He read the Megillah in Shul in the morning. He only said two brachas out loud, but he paused in between the Shechianu, in between Shasanis and Lavasenu, and the beginning of Vayivin Achashverosh, to give anyone a chance who wants to say the bracha of Shechianu softly. So that's they're supposed to have that practice. They're supposed to follow the practice of the Maharil. They're supposed to pause a little bit in the morning to give whoever wants to a chance to say the Shechianu before the Baal Kore starts laying. The Megillah, from the days of the Tanoim till the days of the Amoraim, there was a big dispute whether Megillah is part of the Tanakh. Is it part of the Kisvei HaKodesh? Are there 23 Svarim in Tanakh or 24 Svarim in Tanakh? So the final conclusion finally was that there were Chof Dalet Sifri Tanakh Esm V'Arba, the 24 Svarim, and Megillah Sester was one of the 24. But there were communities and there were periods of time where it was assumed that Megillah Sester is not part of the Tanakh. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in Qumran, so they only found 23 Svar. They didn't find the Megillah Sester. So they're not sure whether that means that that community didn't have Megillah Sester as one of the Kisvei HaKodesh, or it was a lending library and it happened to be lent out and it was never returned. Let's say I have a set of Svarim and I'm missing one volume. It doesn't mean that I'm not garbage that volume. I lent it to someone and they didn't give it back. Okay. So it's unclear. But the Gemara clearly has a machlekes. Davzayin, Amen, Aleph, and Gilek. Gemara has a machlekes But the Megillas Esther is considered part of the Tanakh. We paskan that it is considered part of the Tanakh, and one is only in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah if you read from a kosher Megillas Esther written on cloth properly and so on and so forth. The Mishnah says when you read the Megillah, there's no requirement that you have to stand. You can stand, you can sit. The Rambam just says if the Baal Kori is reading the Megillah Bitzibur, he should stand out of respect for the Tzibur. If the Baal Kori is reading the Megillah for a private audience, there are two or three women who have little babies and he's reading the Megillah for them at home. He's not a Tzibur, he doesn't have a minion of people there. So then the Rambam says he can sit. The Mishnah says he can sit. If he's reading a shul, Kriyas HaMegillah Bitzibur, out of cover that Tzibur, the Baal Kori should stand. But as far as everybody else is concerned, the Mishnah says, Bechesh, you can stand, you can sit. There's no maila to stand. That's Alpi Pashto. The bracha that's recited after the Mikra Megillah, Haravis Rivenu, Gemara says that it depends on the minik hamakom. If the minik is that you say the bracha, you say the same as the bracha Yahalalucha at the conclusion of Hallel. So the Mishnah says in Megillah, if the minik hamakom is to recite Yahalalucha, so you say Yahalalucha. The minig hamakom is that you don't recite Yahalucha, so you don't say. So the same is true regarding Haravis Rivenu, etc. It's only recited if the minig hamakom is to say. Our minig is that we do say. The Ramah writes that one only recites that bracha, Haravis Rivenu, the bracha after the conclusion of the Mikra Megillah, if he's reading the Megillah Bitzibur. If you have a private reading just for two or three people at home, in the hospital, you don't really have a minion. You have less than 10 people. So then the Ramah says you don't recite that bracha, Haravis Rivenu. And his source is the Talmud Yerushalmi, that the bracha Shalachreha, the bracha Shalafaneha, the three brachas before Mikra Megillah are recited, whether you read the Megillah Bitzibur or B'yachid. But the bracha of Shalachreha of Haravis Rivenu is only recited when you read the Megillah Bitzibur. This Ramah is quoted by all the later poskim, the Chayyodim and the Derech HaChaim Sid in the Kitzu Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura. Everybody quotes that and they assume that that's the din. The Vilna Gaon thinks the whole Ramah is a mistake. He thinks there is no such passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. He says the Talmud Yerushalmi distinguishes between Kriya B'Yochid as opposed to Kriya B'Tzibur with respect to Bracha Shalach Reha that goes on Brichas HaTorah Shalach Reha. When you get an aliyah, so you say at the end of the aliyah, say, Ashanasalana Torah. So let's say this is a student who learns in the yeshiva. So when he wakes up in the morning, he says, Brichas HaTorah. And then he learns in the morning, afternoon, at night, whenever he has a chance, he learns. Then before he goes to sleep, before he says, Hamapil, does he say, Ashanasalana Torah Semes? He's finished learning for the day. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. A yachid doesn't recite a bracha shalach reha after he finishes learning. He never really finished learning. You only recite the bracha shalach reha after you finish an aliyah. The aliyahs are not supposed to, people have to go to work, so the aliyahs are not supposed to be forever and ever. You finish the aliyah, say a bracha shanasalana teres emes. Or you finish the haftarah, so you say the bracha after the haftarah. But a private person doesn't say a bracha shalach reha at the conclusion of his private learning in the course of the day. So the Vilna Gaon claims that that passage in Yerushalmi is talking about a bracha shalach reha on Liban HaTorah, that a Yochid doesn't say. But a Mikra Megillah, you finish the Megillah, so that's it. You're finished. There's no mitzvah to repeat the Megillah a second time and a third time. So why not say the Bracha Shalach Reha, even the Yochid? That's what the Vilna Gaon says. But the common practice is that we don't follow that Vilna Gaon. Because we assume that the Bracha of Haravis Rivenu is only a minik to begin with. It all depends what the minik HaMakom is. And the minik for many centuries has been like the Ramah said, right or wrong. That's what the Ramah said. And that's the common practice. That you only say the Bracha Haravis Rivenu if you're reading the Megillah the Rabbi. That's why, let's say, sometimes in a lot of shuls, they'll have a second Kriyas HaMegillah for the women. The women have to take care of their babies, so they couldn't attend by the regular minyan. So the husbands come home after davening, and then they have 10 minutes later, they have a Mikra Megillah for the women afterwards. So if they don't have 10 men by the second minyan, they only have many women, so that's a question in Shulchan Aruch, is that called Mikra Megillah B'Tzibur? You have to have 10 men to be called Mikra Megillah B'Tzibur, or 10 people. The women are Mechuyev also Mikra Megillah just like the men. So is that considered a Tzibur or not? So that's a big debate in the Rishonim. The Balei HaTosis and Brachas in the beginning of Perek Shlosh Sheachlu are of the opinion that the 10 women don't constitute a tzibur, not for benching mezumen. They can't say the baruch alakenu. They can bench mezumen, the baruch shahan mishaloi, but they can't say the baruch alakenu when you need 10. And it's not the 10 women are not a minyan for davish b'kedusha to recite kaddish kedusha baruch hu kriyas haTorah. And 10 women cannot constitute a tzibur for the purpose of mikra megillah. That's what Tosis writes. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramos says that it's questionable whether yes or not, whether 10 women are considered a minyan. So that's why the common practice is that if you have a kriyas megillah special for women, you don't have 10 men there. Sometimes you have 10 men who could make the first minyan. So then it's kriyas megillah v'tzibur. But if you only have 10 women, so they don't recite the bracha Rabbis Yirveinu at the end of the mikra megillah. Lechatchila, even when you read the Megillah on Yud Dalet Bizmana, you should also have a minyan. It's preferable to have a minyan. If you don't have a minyan, you're also Yotze, but you don't recite HaRavis Rivenu. If a person, let's say, is going on a boat trip, and he knows when it comes to Purim, he's not going to have the Megillah, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's a kula, he can read the Megillah earlier with the bracha, so then the din requires he has to have asar. When you have Mikra Megillah Shaloi Bizmana, not on Purim proper, then the Gemara says you need dafka asar. But in Mikra Megillah Bizmana, on Purim, so we say lechatchila should have a asara, lechatchila asara, 10 men. And if you can't have asara, so you can still read the Megillah, but you don't say the bracha Rav Shrivein. That's a shaila. When you have lechatchila Mikra Megillah ba'asara, what does it mean? Let's say you have 10 people in a room, and each one has his own Megillah, and each one is reading his own Megillah. You don't have one balkur, he's being mitzi all 10 people with Shemir Kohen. Is that called Mikra Megillah Basara? Because you have 10 people in the same room. Each one is being yotze to Mikra Megillah. But he's saying, no, it's only considered Mikra Megillah Basara if they're connected with each other. There's one Kriyas HaMegillah, and 9 are listening to the one who's reading the Megillah. So that was a dispute between the Chazon Ish and Rav Velvela Soloveitcher, whether that's considered the Mikra Megillah Basara or not. Yeah, that's Tefillah B'Tzibur, okay. The definition of Tefillah B'Tzibur is that you have 10 people davening Tefillah B'Lachash simultaneously. But here the question is, maybe Mikra Megillah B'Asar is like Chazaras HaShatz, that you have to have Chazaras HaShatz, you have to have one person say the Tefillah B'Kol Ram and 9 people listen. You can't have, let's say, everybody daven Balachash, then you're going to have everybody daven Chazaras HaShatz, so that's not acceptable. Chazaras HaShatz has to be one person is reciting the Shemana Esrei, and all the other 9 are listening. So that's the machlekes that they had over here by Mikra Megillah Basar. That Chatchila we need Asar, or Mikra Megillah Shaloi Bizmani, need Asar, or Likuva. So what's called Asar? That 10 people in a room saying, reciting the Megillah, or 10 people being Yotze with one Mikra Megillah? The Gemara says we have a special kula by Mikra Megillah, which doesn't apply to Sefer Torah. Let's say you have a Sefer Torah, Shechosa Oisachas, it's missing one letter. So the Rambam writes that it's possible. This is really surprising because this din does not appear in the Gemara. The Gemara, that comes from the Zohar. The Zohar has such a rush. So the Gemara says Sefer Torah, Shechosa Yeriah Achas, if it's missing a whole Yeriah. Yeriah means from one stitch to the other, you're missing a few columns. 5, 6 columns are missing. So I want to learn Parshas Tetzaveh, and it's missing Yiriyah somewhere else in Shmos or in Vayikra, somewhere else missing Yiriyah. Where it never says Chasar Eisachas. The Rambam writes if it's Torah Chasar Eisachas or Yiter Eisachas, if the extra letter, so the Rambam says Hayesa cannot pull up. If you have an extra letter, it's the same as missing a letter. So the Sefer Torah would be possible. By Mikra Megillah, Gemara says Beferish that. If you're missing a couple of letters here and there, it's okay, as long as Ad Rubai, as long as Rav of the Megillah is written, and only a Miut is missing. So this is a question in the Tshuvas HaRitvo. Is this a special kula by Mikra Megillah? Because Megillah is Nikris Igeris, it's Nikris Sefer, and Nikris Igeris. So an Igeris is a private letter that you send to someone. A lot of times you leave out a word, you leave out a letter, you spell something wrong, you don't go over it to correct it, to make sure that everything is written correctly. So maybe since the Megillah says there's Nikris Igeris, so maybe that's why if you're missing here and there a letter, and missing a word here and there, as long as Rav is written, you say Rubik Kekuloi. But anything else, let's say Nevi'im, let's say in Yeshiva they're laying the Navi from a cloth for the Haftarah. So what if the Navi is missing letters here and there? But Rav of the Sefer, let's say you got to read from Yecheskel or Yirmiyah or whatever, Rav of the Sefer is missing, and the Miut of this Rav of the Sefer is written properly, and here and there are letters that are missing. are words that are rubbed out. So does it pay for the Balkari to lane from the Klaf? What do you say? No, he's not Yotzi anything anyway, because missing Sefer Shechasar Isachas is possible. So Navi Shechasar Isachas is also possible. So that's a question. This Kula that the Gemara has, that Ad Rubayev, if Miut of the Megillah is missing, it still has the status of the Kedushas HaMegillah, Sefer, is that a special Kula Megillah because Nikra is Sefer? But in all other Sefer Nevi'im Uksulim, they have the status of a Sefer Torah. Chasar Isachas is no good. Or maybe I should say no. This Kula applies to all Sefer HaTanakh with the one exception of Sefer Torah. Maybe Sefer Torah is different because it says in Chumash, Vayikachalos Moshe Lichtov is called Dibra Torah Zeis Ad Tumam, when Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing the Sefer Torah from the beginning to the end, he gave it to the Levim, and he told them, Nesatamas B'tzad Aram B'ris Hashem, Voyer Hashem B'chol Yeh. Maybe that's a special Chumra by Sefer Torah because it says Ad Tumam. Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing every single letter of the Sefer Torah. So these two possibilities appear in the Tshuvas HaRidva. The Ridva talks about it, and he doesn't specifically raise the issue, but in one sentence he gives two explanations why Megillah is different. So he says because Nikra is Igeris, and then he says no, Sefer Torah is different. So it's really a contradiction in Ei Bei in the Tshuvas HaRidva. So question: this halacha that if you have a Megillah that's missing a letter here and there, missing a word here and there. The same would be true if you have an extra letter, an extra word. Let's say you have a Sefer Torah, and they wrote the brachas, Machuas Hashem Amvarach, they wrote it on the parchment, on the klaf of the Sefer Torah. You can have brachas ksubas ba-sefer, so that would passel the whole Sefer Torah. Because yes, there cannot hold on. Just like if you're missing a letter in the Sefer Torah, it's passel. But the Rambam says, yes, sir, if you have an extra letter, is cannot hold on. Yes, it cannot hold on. You have an extra letter, is considered as the same psul as if you would be missing a letter. That halacha, the original halacha, yes, it cannot hold on me, that's a chiddush in the Rambam. That halacha appears in the Gemara in Elu Trefis, in Chulam, with respect to Trefis in an animal. If you have an animal that's missing a leg, so it's a trefa. What if you have an animal that has five legs? So the Gemara says, yes, sir, it's cannot hold on me. If it has an extra organ, let's say an animal has an extra lung, instead of having two lungs, it has three lungs, something like that. So if it has an extra organ, it's considered a trefa, just like if it would be missing an organ. An animal has two hearts. So it's a trefa, just like an animal that has a missing heart, missing part of the heart. So the Rambam has a chiddush, that he writes that lashon in Hilchos Sefer Torah. Yes, it cannot hold dummy. Just like if you have a Sefer Torah that's chaser isachas, it's possible. So too if you have a Sefer Torah that has extra letters, it's possible. So Bar Megillah says that if you're missing a letter here and there, ad rubay is kosher. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you have extra words, extra letters, in a Megillah, let's say they drew diagrams, they drew pictures in a Megillah. Or they wrote the brachas in the beginning of the Megillah Sester, they wrote all the brachas. And at the end of the Megillah, they wrote the bracha, HaRabbis Rebbeinu Adonis Dinei. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that it doesn't passel b'diyeva. Chida shouldn't do it, but it doesn't passel b'diyeva. And then years ago, one of the wealthy Gvirim wanted to have an illuminated Megillah. They wanted to have a Megillah that has diagrams, and it should be kosher l'chatchila, not just kosher b'diyeva. So that was a stunt. How do you have diagrams in a Megillah? It should be yesika, not l'tam. It should be like missing oisiyas, that it's only good b'diyeva, it's not good l'chatchila. So one of the rabbanim had to give an eitzah, how to do that. So the Gemara has...
l'chatchila, it's not the best way to do it?
Right, l'chatchila, you should have a Megillah tester that does not have anything extra. It shouldn't have pictures in it, unless the pictures are written on a different piece of parchment and not attached to the Megillah itself.
What about the crowns that a lot of Megillahs have?
It's also a problem. You're not supposed to put crowns. You put tagim. Okay, you put tagim on the letters. That required tagim. There are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch whether you put tagim in a Megillah. And the accepted opinion is that yes, you do put tagim. But you put only the tagim. You don't put extra chachkalah. So the Gemara has this din that if you have roiv, the 51% of everything is written. That's a question. What do you mean roiv? Roiv with the letters, roiv with the words, roiv with the psukim. It's not clear in Shulchan Aruch exactly. How do you calculate the roiv here? Let's say every word in Megillah is missing one letter. So you don't have one roiv with you. Every single word is missing one letter. But within every word, the words all have three letters or more. So even if you're missing one letter, but the roiv of all letters are there, but the roiv of all the words are not intact. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Is that called roiv of the letters is there, or roiv of the words are not intact? So the Gemara has, again, if the Balkur is reading from Megillah, and the Megillah is missing a word here and there, so as long as the Rav of the Megillah is written, the Halacha says it's a kosher Megillah, and when the Balkur lays the Megillah, whatever is missing, he'll say Balpeh. So you see that there are two Halachas here. In Ruba Kukula, regarding the Megillah. Number one, the Megillah is considered a kosher Megillah, even though it's missing Miut, as long as it has Rav. And number two, that Mikra Megillah has to be mitor chaksav, even if you have, let's say, a perfectly kosher Megillah in front of you, but the Balkari recites the whole Megillah by heart. So what does it help that he has a kosher Megillah? He's supposed to read mitor chaksav. So if he has a Megillah that only has Rav is written and Miut is missing, so he's going to be reciting part of the Megillah by heart. So you see from the Gemara that that's okay, as long as you say b'di'evit. The Chatchila should have a Megillah that has everything, and you should read everything b'toch haksav. But b'di'evit, you can rely on Ruba Kukuloi. So here there's the following discussion. The Gemara has, second parak of Megillah has a machlekes atanoim. See, this coming Shabbos is Parshas Tetzaveh. So you don't have a sefer, a klap that only has Parshas Tetzaveh. You have to have all chamish uchum shetar. You have to have a sefer Torah. That's from Bereshis Tili, any Kol Yisrael. And you only lay in Parshas Tetzaveh. So the Gemara has a machlekes atanoim. How much of the Megillah says that you have to read? So we happen to paskan like the opinion of Rav Meir, Kulo. You have to read from the beginning to the end. But in the days of the Tanoim, the Gemara says that's how we paskan. In the days of the Tanoim, there were different opinions. One Tanoim was of the opinion, you just have to start from, you don't have to start from Ahri Me'ach HaShverish. You start from Ishi Yudi Hoi B'Shushan Abir, or Balayla Hu Dadadosh Nasamela, or I forgot the third Tanoim. There are three different opinions in the Tanoim. So the Gemara says, and we passing after laying the Kula, from the beginning to the end, you have to read the whole Megillah. So the Gemara says, Mar makes a statement that even if you follow those Tanoim, that there's no need to read the whole Megillah, but still, when you read the Megillah, you have to read from a kosher Megillah. So it has to be, the part that you read has to be from a Megillah that's Nichtav Kula. Like this week in Parshas Tetzaveh, you can't just read from a Sefer that only has Parshas Tetzaveh. It has to have the whole Chamishah from Shetorah, and the Balkari lanes from Parshas Tetzaveh. So the Rashba is bothered by Akasha, the Rashba Megillah is quoted in Shulchan, is bothered by Akasha. Why does the Gemara say that even according to the opinion that you read from Ish Yehud Yehoi B'Shushan Abiru, or B'Layla Hud Noronashnas HaMelech, or the other opinion that you don't have to read all. So why does the Gemara say Tzricha should take Suva Kula, everything has to be written? Why? But from B'Layla Hud Noronashnas HaMelech till the end of the Megillah, that's Rav of the Megillah. So Rav is written. So the Gemara says even if you have 49% is missing, but 51% is written. So that's good enough. So what's so bad? If you have a Megillah that only starts from Balayla Hu Narish Nasanala, so 51% of Megillah is written. So and you're not reading the other part. You only have to read from Balayla Hu to the end. So it's all written. So what's the problem? Why does the Gemara require Tzvicha should take Suva Kula? Rav is written, so everything is fine. So the Rashba gives two answers. And with Machmah like both answers. He makes two suggestions. One suggestion he makes is, yes, if you're missing a letter here and there, you're missing a word here and there, but if you're missing Inyan Shalem, missing a whole theme, so then that'll pass on. So that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and we're not really so sure what's considered an Inyan Shalem. Sometimes a Pasuk is an Inyan Shalem. So if you're missing, sometimes missing a whole Pasuk, that may pass on the whole Megillah because it's considered missing an Inyan Shalem. Then the Rashba gives another suggestion. Maybe that halacha that the Gemara says that ksuva kula ad machza is good, if ruba is written, so ad machza is okay. Maybe that halacha only applies if it's missing here and there. But if it's missing in the beginning or missing in the end, that's too conspicuous, that's too noticeable. So then maybe that passes. Even though you have 98% of the Megillah is written, but you're missing the opening pasuk or the concluding pasuk, so maybe that's worse. In the middle here and there, missing is not so bad. So they're both suggestions of the Rashba, they're both chumras of the Rashba, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch LaHachmir. If you have a Megillah that's missing Inyan Sholem, you can't use it to lay. Even though Rubai is written, and the missing Pasuk, the Balkari will be able to say Balpet, we don't allow that. Or even if it's not missing Inyan Sholem, but it's missing either B'Tchilos or B'Seifo, so then we don't allow that. So this is a Shaila that happens in every shul. The Balkari, whatever time you announce Mikra Megillah, there's always someone comes in a half minute late. The guy comes in, so the Balkari already finished reciting the first three brachas. He's up to Vahibi Me'ach HaShverish. So what do you do? So you So the choice is you have to wait till the next minyan. It's going to be another hour and a half later. He doesn't want to wait till an hour and a half later. He wants to be out in the Mikra Megillah now. He has other things to do with his time. So what should he do? So I think in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch it says the common Eitzah. If you come in late and you miss the first bracha, you miss the first word of the bracha, so you quickly say the brachas on your own. Say the first three brachas on your own. Then the Balkar is ready in the middle of reading. So you read the first pasuk or two from a printed chumash, and you catch up to the Balkar. Then once you catch up, so you'll be yotze with the Mikra Megillah by listening to the Balkar. Shemea Koine. So the first pasuk or two, the three brachas you said on your own. The first brachas you said from a printed chumash, and then the rest of the Megillah. Rive up the Megillah, you heard me talk Haksav. So the Mishnah Brura quotes a Machlokes Achrayim about this. Is that a valid suggestion or not? The Rashba said that if it's missing Trilasai or missing Sofo, so that passes the Megillah. So does that apply to the Kriya of Trilasai? The Megillah that the Balkar is reading from is not missing anything. It has everything written there. But the way I'm Yotze the Mikra Megillah, I said the first pasuk Balpeh. I said the first pasuk by reading from a printed Chumash, which is considered Balpeh. It's only considered Mitarech Haksav if you read from a klaf that's kosher for Mikra Megillah. So Mishnah Berurah quotes a Machlokes Achrayim. So some Achrayim hold that just like if the Megillah is missing Chilasoi, so the Rashba thought that you're not allowed to read from such a Megillah. So even if the Megillah is perfect, but you recited the first pasuk Balpeh, that's also not acceptable. And the Pashtus is like the other opinion, that Chumr that the Rashba said, that if the Megillah is missing Chilasai, even though 99% of the Megillah is written, just the opening Pasuk, the concluding Pasuk is missing. So that's a psul. That means if it's a psul in the Chetz of the Megillah, the Megillah is missing Chilasai. But if the Megillah has Chilasai, the only thing is that I personally was Yotze the first Pasuk Katu by reading from a printed Chumash Balpeh, so that's not a problem. That's what's usually assumed. Yes, we're going to talk about the other mitzvah sayom as well. The Gemara says that there is a mitzvah to have a suda. Can you have a milchik suda or not? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say whether it has to be fleishig or milchik. The Rambam writes, however, it has to be basa v'yayin, and the yayin should be adalo yoda. So the Rambam understands that adalo yoda is not a separate mitzvah to get drunk. He says the mitzvah adalo yoda is a shir in the yayin that you eat, that you drink terchas suda. That's a question the poskim have about ad delo yoda. Is a person yotze ad delo yoda if he drinks liquor, other things, or only if he drinks wine? So the simple reading of the Rambam is that it's a suda like on yontif where you require basa v'yayin, and the yayin should be more than usual ad delo yoda, and it should be a fleishig meal. The Rambam says it should be basa v'yayin ad delo yoda. So the Gemara says, if you have the suda at night, Leil Purim you're not yotze, the suda has to be bayom. So the Mordechai, who was a contemporary of the Rosh and Hagos Maimoni, from the Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg, so the Mordechai on that Gemara quotes two opinions. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that just like on Yontif, you have to have two meals. Shabbos, you have to have three sudas, Shavuot sudas. And a Yontif in Shulchan Aruch accepted opinions that you don't need Suda Shlishis, just have two Sudas, one Balayla and one Bayom. So the same is true regarding Purim. You need a Suda Balayla and a Suda Bayom. So when the Gemara says Sudas Purim Shaso Balayla V'yotz Dechavasa, means that that's not sufficient. If you had a fleshig meal at night, that's not enough. You have to have Basa V'yayim Balayla and you have to have Basa V'yayim Bayom. And others are of the opinion, though, that Sudas Purim Shaso Balayla V'yotz Dechavasa, neither here nor there, you don't have to eat anything. People are starved, they were fasting on Tainus Estes. So of course they want to eat something Leil Purim, but there's no mitzvah to have a suda. The suda is only bayom. You're not yotze the suda at all balayla, there's only suda bayom. That's why in different parts of Germany they had different minhagim. Whether on Leil Purim they had dafka fleishig meal or they had dafka milchig meal. So some had a fleishig meal, they had basa v'yayin bayom and basa v'yayin balayla to satisfy that view from the Mordechai, that you have to have two sudas. And other communities that had the meaning bedavke to have a milchig meal to demonstrate that you're not yotze anything with the meal. Leil Purim has to be davke v'yom. These are the two opinions in the Rishonim. And then there's the question, are you yotze the Adalayada, if you had liquor, if you had something other than wine. The Rambam seems to have understood the Gemara that it's only Yayin. Somebody just gave me a gift. Some of the Meretz Yisrael gave me a gift. They have a collection of chuas by Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. Akiva Schlesinger was a personality. Character belongs. He was a character. He was the one who blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shel Chaliyas B'Shabbos around 80 years ago, because he lived in the Eir Atika. And he did odd things. He had a lot of original ideas. He was the son-in-law of a tzaddik, a Hungarian tzaddik, of Hillel Kalamaya, of Hillel Lichtenstein. So, you should tzaddik. So they printed a lot of svarim of his, of this Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. They finally printed the collection of his Shabbos and Shuvah. So a great-great-grandson of his bought me as a gift. He got me this set. So I was just looking at it yesterday. So he has a tshuva. He thinks that you're to which naps also. But others think that you're not. Others think that it's a din of dafke bosa the yayin, and the yayin has to be dafke yayin. The Magen Avraham has a machlokes achrayim. What if a person recites the Birchas Hamazon after the Suras Purim, and he didn't recite, he didn't mention Al HaNisim? Does he have to bench over again or not? On Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Gemara says if a person recites Birchas Hamazon and forgot to say Vitzei, forgot to say Yavo Yavoi, so since there's a Chiyav Suda, the Gemara says you're not Yotze the Suda, you're Yotze the benching, but you're not Yotze the Suda if you bench and you didn't mention Vitzei or Yalav Yavoi. So that's what some Achreinim are of the opinion. That the same is true regarding Purim, there's a Chiyav Suda. And others think that not. So the Magen Avraham understands that the machlokes is whether you need pas. If you need bread for the Sudas Purim, so then you have to bench, and then if you forgot Al-Anisim, then you're not Yotze. But if you don't need bread, so you can be Yotze the Suda without Birchas HaMazon at all by saying Bar Nefashis. So then in Bar Nefashis there is no Haskar, there is no mention of Purim Bichlal. So even if you had bread, you can't say that the reciting of Al-Anisim is Likud. That's how the Magen Avraham says that the Nukudas and Machlekes of these Achrayim is whether the Suda's point requires Pasana. The Aruch HaShulchan is not happy with that. He thinks that there is no such thing. Whenever a person wants to fulfill a mitzvah of Suda, Avada, you have to have Pas. Let's say you participate in a Sheva Brachas. They don't really need you for the minyan, so you don't, a wedding, let's say, and you don't want to wash for bread. So he thinks that you're not Yotze the mitzvah of Suda's mitzvah. Suda's mitzvah by a bris, or Suda's mitzvah by a wedding, or Sheva Brachas, is only if you wash, then you have pas. So he thinks for sure, if you don't have pas, you don't have bread, and Purim Mirat Yotze, and it's still a machlekes achrayim, whether Al HaNisim is likul. He thinks that it's not totally zebizah. Even though you certainly need pas, it's still a machlekes. So if a person should be careful to say Al HaNisim. If he forgets it, we pass himself in Brachas LaHakel. He shouldn't repeat the Birchas HaMazon. In Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam says that many people have an improper practice that they start the Suda right before the Shkiyah on Purim, and then they eat into Shushan Purim. The main part of the Suda should be on Purim. Not only the main part, more correct is that you should recite the Birchas HaMazon on Purim. If a person eats the meal on Purim and he benches on Matzoy Purim, then it's really a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. What they say, Alan Nisimanat, do you follow Tchilas HaSuda or not? So bottom line, if that's what happens, so we paskin that you follow Tchilas HaSuda. That since Tchilas HaSuda was on Purim, so you do recite the Alan Nisim, even though by the time you're benching, it's already way after Tzeisat Kachovim. But Lachatchila, it's not right to set up such a situation. So more correct is that Lachatchila, you should eat the meal in such a way that you should finish, you have Basar Yayin, you have Adal Yoda, and then you should finish the meal and finish the benching mid-bod yom before the Shkia. The Ramah says, what does it mean Adal Yoda? A person has to get so drunk. How drunk is so drunk? So he says, Yishta Yosem Elimuda, he's quoting the Ramah. He should drink more than he usually drinks till the point of becoming drowsy. And then it should make him so drowsy that he'll take a nap later. So the nap doesn't have to be on Purim, the nap can be Balailo also. It's just a sheer. If he drank so much wine till it made him drowsy, then he has to take a nap. So then that's a simen, that's an indication that he drank Adal Yoda. When he's sleeping, it does not be an Arham al Barak Matcha. So that's Adal Yoda. While he's sleeping, he won't know.
What's the Rambam source for Adal Yoda?
Well, the Gemara.
The Rambam is our source for drinking, for having wine Adal Yoda.
Yeah.
Right? What's that from? Like, where do you.
the Gemara says there's a mitzvah to drink out of a yod. The Rambam, that's a Gemara. Yeah. The only thing is the Rambam has a chiddush. Rambam says you're not yetzi if you drink separately. It should be part of the meal. You have to have basar v'yayin. Yayin should be out of a yod. Like every yontav, you need basar v'yayin. So today also basar v'yayin. And the yayin should be in the middle of the meal. Out of yod. Stam, and some people get drunk on Purim not in part of the meal. So that's what from the Rambam we see that he holds that you're not yetzi. Those were the two practices that I mentioned in different communities in different parts of Germany. Some had the minig dafke to have melchiks to demonstrate that you're not yotze, the suda has to be dafke by yom, and others followed the view of the mordchai that no, you have to have two sudas. If you have balayla, that's not sufficient. You have to have balayla by yom, and each of the two sudas are supposed to have bos of a yayin. They should both have bos of a yayin. So those are two minhagim, whether you dafke have a fleshig meal or dafke have a melchig meal. The shalach manas is really supposed to be two courses in a meal. You give a piece of flesh, you give a piece of fish, you give a vegetable salad, you give a kugel something. Many people have the practice, they give nash. So the pashtus says that you're not yotze if you give junk foods. You give popcorn, cracker jacks, candies, these kind of things. It has to be taka. Shalach manas means a chunk of food that you would eat, of course, in a meal. An elaborate meal is in the days of the Tanaim, is considered a meal that has two courses. That's mishloch manos. You have to send two pieces of maichel to one person. That means you have to give him, you have to have him share in your sudas korim. If you invite someone to eat by you on Purim, and the shalach manos gadol mizeh, that's the best shalach manos you can have. You give him the whole meal. But if you send the shalach manos to his home, so it's also considered as if he's participating with you. Me wouldn't be enough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we assume still two courses of the meal are sufficient. But if you don't even give two courses, just give nash and more nash. You give a chocolate bar, you give candies, you give nash and rice. So that's not courses in the meal. The pashtus is, has to be something that one would eat as part of the meal. Matanis lav yoinim. It's a whole discussion. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Rav HaPoskim say that the minimum amount of money you have to give is a shalach pruta. If you give less than a shalach pruta, you're not yotze. And others question that. How does he know? Maybe yotze even if you give less than a shalach pruta. And the Birkei Yosef Bechido, who lived in the 1700s, is quoted by the Shari Tshuva next to the Behete. Birkei Yosef says he only yotze if you gave the oni so much money that he can buy a shear of three kibbutzim of food with it. That's based on a Mishnah and Teyah. That only however we mark the mark, and you have to give him enough food or give him enough money to buy six beitzim, three beitzim of food for one meal and three beitzim of food for another meal. So different opinions. What's the minimum of shalchman? It's more correct is to give a significant matanas laviyad. Okay, if a person can afford it, you should give a significant matanas laviyad. In the days of the Gaonim, they had a minig that was spread out over the course of the year, that there were 10 psukim where the minig was that the tzibu would say along with the Valkyries. So four of the 10 psukim happened to be on Purim, in the middle of Mikra Megillah. I heard my story of Simcha Vesas Mikar, Mordechai Yehudi Ratzel the Raivech of the end, I already forgot the other two psukim. So in Shulchan Aruch, you get the mistaken impression as if this is a Purim Digim minig. When you look in the Shuvas Hagadim, this is part of the same minig that on a Tainas Tzibur, he said, Vayav Hashem Parim Hashem Hashem Kelracham Achal Nerach HaPayim, and so on. Then they had, it was spread out over the course of the year, that the Tzibur would recite along with the Balkari, Psukim of Nechama, of Geula, Yeshua, Kapora, Slicha. So four of the 10 Psukim happened to be on Purim. And the other six were the course of the year. This was a big minig spread out. The shaila is when you get to the last pasuk in the Megillah. So the Ramah writes the minig is that the tzibur says the pasuk first. So most of the tzibur doesn't have a Megillah in front of them. They have a chumash, a printed chumash, and then the Balkari repeats the pasuk afterwards. So when you get to the last pasuk, when you get to Lahudim Haistari of the Simcha Vesas Mikar, so you didn't finish the whole Mikra Megillah yet. So you weren't Yotze yet. So the Chaz and the Balkari leads over that passing Mitoch Aksav. So Lechatchili should have the whole Mikra Megillah should be Mitoch Aksav. But the Yevit, if you lain Ruba Mitoch Aksav and Miut Balpeh, you would be Yotze. So when it comes to the first three Psukim of Geula in the Mikra Megillah, so even though I said the Pasuk, I wasn't Yotze in the Mikra Megillah yet because I didn't finish. So the Balkar is going to lay in over the Pasuk, so I'll have the whole Megillah will be Mitoch Aksav. But I get to the last Pasuk, Mardai Hudi, Ratzah, the Rav Echov, and so on. So once I finish that Pasuk, that's it. So you yotze the whole Mikra Megillah. And you yotze Bidi Evid, because in the last Pasuk you said Balpeh. Now it's not going to happen, the Balkar is going to say the Pasuk Mitoch Aksav. After you were ready yotze the Mitzvah Bidi Evid, you can't do anything. Stand on your head, you can't do anything to the yotze the Mitzvah Lechatchila. And you've already been yotze Bidi Evid. So that's what they called the Aderis. One of the great Goinim, Aderis was a Rav in Mir and in Panevej. His son-in-law was Rabbi Cook, Chief Rabbi Cook. And then she died at a young age, so Rabbi Cook remarried. He married a cousin, I think, his wife's first cousin. But he was still very close to his former father-in-law, the Aderis. And when the Aderis moved there to Israel later also. The Aderis, when Rabbi Shmuel Salant was getting old, so he said he needs an assistant rabbi to break him in and to take over after he goes. So there was a whole discussion all over the world, who should they get? So they finally recommended, they took the Aderis. He came, he was the Rav in Panevej in Mir. So when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was the assistant rabbi to Rabbi Shmuel Salant to take over after Rabbi Shmuel Salant will pass away. And after three, 4 years, the Aderis died at a very young age. Shmuel Salant went on to the age of 100 or something like that. He was gone strong for another 20 years after the Aderis passed away. So they had to get someone else to take over afterwards. So the Aderis was a famous Talmud Chacham. After he passed away, after the Aderis passed away, he had many kisayat. So his son, I don't think was observant, Rav Cook's brother, I think he was a lawyer. So he respected all of his father's writings, but he had no use for them. He wasn't going to use it. So he donated all the writings to the Panevej Yeshiva. So they were sitting and writing away in the Panevej Yeshiva because they weren't going to print them. Rav Cook's father-in-law. They didn't have anything to do with Rav Cook. So they were sitting and writing away there for years. So one of the rabbis in the Yeshiva High School of Merkaz Harav, Yeshiva Latzirim, recommended jokingly to his students, it wouldn't be such a bad idea. Someone should go to Panevej Yeshiva in Bnei Brak and they should take all the tzod. So a couple of kids went. And they walked off with all the cartons of the Kisuyan. So after a couple of days, they didn't have it on the guard. They just had it sitting around in the library. So after a couple of days, they realized the Ksavim of the Aderis were missing. The reason why they gave it to Panevej Yeshiva, because he used to be the Rav in Panevej in Europe. So, and they weren't doing anything with it. So Rav Shach, this was a Meiser from 30 years ago. Rav Shach just died around 5-10 years ago. So Rav Shach was a young man then, about 80 years old or whatever, 75, 80 years old. He died, he was ancient, but he died. So he got all angry, so he said, Gnevei Gazlanim, they should give back all the Ksavim immediately. So they made a Xerox copy of every page that they had, and then they snuck back into the library and they put it back, the same way they snuck in the first time, and no one ever caught them. So every year they print another sefer from the Aderis, from the Gigambit, from the stolen copies. Panevej Yeshiva had this chut. They still have it now. If they want, they can always print all of them, but they're not printing any. So they printed a lot of things. So they printed this Hanhaga from the Aderis. He wrote up a lot of his own Midas Chasidus. So his practice, I think, was when it came to the last Pasuk, he would have the Balkari say it first. And after the Balkari said it, then he was already out to the Om Mikra Megillah L'chatchila, everything. So then he would say the Pasuk after the Balkari.
How do we take care of this problem, this issue, though?
People usually have in mind not to be Yotze. When they say the last Pasuk, they have in mind not to be Yotze. They want to be Yotze with the Kriyas HaPasuk Al Yedei Balkari. On Tainis Esther, the Gemara says on every Tainis, you're supposed to give Tzedakah. The Gemara says in Brachas, in the first prayer, it's very important to give Tzedakah on Tainis. Mishnah Berurah says at least that amount of money that you saved because you didn't pay for meals today. However much money you would have normally spent in the cafeteria for breakfast and lunch, you're only eating supper on Leil Purim. So you didn't eat breakfast and lunch on Tainis Esther. At least that amount of money, once you give to Tzedakah, maybe give more. So the Gaonim introduced the minig. The Gaoni Eretz Yisrael introduced the minig. They had to come up with new fundraising gimmicks. Every institution, every Jewish charitable institution has to come up with some fundraising gimmicks. The gimmicks from last year don't work anymore. So they came up with a new einfall. Machtzis HaShekel. Everybody should give Machtzis HaShekel. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to give Machtzis HaShekel for the purpose of funding the Karbanos Tzibur. So the Goyim in Bavel were very upset about this. What do you mean? Machtzis HaShekel is Hekdash. If the people really give Machtzis HaShekel, you're not allowed to use it for tzedakah, you're not allowed to use it for the yeshiva. Machtzis HaShekel is Kodesh. So the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael who introduced this, they said that they have a tradition, it's in the Talmud Yerushalmi, the last line in Shkolim, that if you're Magdish Machtzis HaShekel, it's not Chal. It's not even Chal. So there's nothing to worry about. Mafrish HaKorban Pesach Bizman HaZet is Chal. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to say Basa Zela Pischi, even though you mean for a Yontef Pesach, you don't mean for Korban Pesach, but someone may think that you meant that this flesh is for the Korban Pesach. So that's only by Pesach, the Gemara has that. Because if you're Mafrish HaKorban Pesach Bizman HaZet is Chal. But Yerushalmi, in the end of Shkolim, writes that if you're Mafrish Machtzis HaShekel Bizman HaZet, it's not Chal. So that's what the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael who introduced this fundraising gimmick, that's what they said. The Goyim in Bavel said they never heard of it. So Yerushalmi and Shkolim, they never heard of it. He said in Kabbalah in the Kabbalah, if that's your tradition, okay, but they were really not thrilled about it. So that's why the Ramo and the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Maharil that when they have the plate on Taina Sesta that says Machtzis HaShekel, it should say in big letters Zecher, the Machtzis HaShekel. Nobody should think that it's really Machtzis HaShekel. It's only a zecher. Because if you really mean l'shem machtzis shekel, then there is a question whether it really becomes kodesh, in which case you can't use it for anything.
If you owe meiser, if you owe money for meiser, can you double up for tens of the yulin for this seven times, or you would be able to use it in both at the same time?
The basic Matanas Levyanim should be given from other funds, not from the Maisik. If a person can afford it, a person can't afford it, so he doesn't have to give Maisik Safim either. But if he can't afford it, he should really give seven. Let's say you want to give a Matanas Levyanim $100 or $200. He could have been Yotze with $20. He could have been Yotze $10 for one only, $10 for another only. So the remaining $80, so that you can take from Maisik Safim money. But the basic Matanas Levyanim should really be not from my successor. Kriyas HaTorah morning, the morning of Purim, is a big question that's discussed in Rishonim and two opinions of Shulchan Aruch. The Kriyas HaTorah is supposed to have three aliyahs, and there are only nine psukim. So the Gemara says there's a requirement that every aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim, and the sum total of the whole Kriyas HaTorah has to be a minimum of ten psukim. So how can you have Kriyas HaTorah only has nine psukim? So the Mechaber quotes one answer and the Ramah quotes a different answer. Mechaber and the Sfardim have that practice like the Mechaber. Mechaber says, by the Shlishi, you should lean over the last Pasuk twice. So you only have nine Psukim, but if you say the last Pasuk twice, you read ten Psukim. And the Ramah says, Ashkenazim don't follow that suggestion. Other Rishonim gave that suggestion. Ashkenazim follow what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi. That since it's Shalim in Yona, you read the whole story about Melchemes Amalek, and you finished. The whole story of Melchemes Amalek, Vayav Amalek, is contained in nine psukim. The whole reason why you need ten psukim is because usually, if you have a long parsha that has 25 psukim, after reading ten psukim, you will have already completed a whole chunk of the inyan. But here, the nine psukim is Shalom in Yonah. You finish the whole story. So that's a big difference between Minig Ashkenaz and Minig Sfar. It's not Minhagim, it's a question of din. What do you do on Purim morning? Do you have to repeat the last pasuk, or is that not necessary? But Ashkenazim have the practice that you just read the nine pasuk. Okay, have a good Purim, everybody. Next week, what's the shiur on? I forgot. Look on the chart. Okay.